When climbers are making an ascent up a mountain, a steep mountain, often they will climb roped together. They may be spaced apart on the mountain face, but a rope connects them so that if one slips, the others catch him by that rope and so keep that person from falling into injury. Well, connected by a rope, that is a great picture of the spiritual journey, the spiritual life that we're on. We are connected by this rope of faith, this rope of encouragement, wisdom, love, example. If we slip, there are others to catch us. I mean, this is what the body of Christ is. But beyond our brothers and sisters in Christ here, we are also connected on this rope to those who have gone before us in the faith. And we're especially connected to these master climbers that we find in the Scripture. And we meet some of these master climbers in the Psalms of Ascent. These are Psalms 120 through 134. These Psalms really were the songs of the climbers. Songs as they sang on their way to the great festivals in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in the mountains, and so naturally the journey was an uphill climb. And just as the uphill journey, the road to Jerusalem was full of twists and dangers, well, so is our spiritual journey as we climb, as we make our way toward God. Well, the question is, how do you climb and not fall? Well, we want to think about belaying in on the rope that these pilgrims extend to us. In these Psalms of Ascent, we want to take hold of what they tell us about navigating the difficult trails in life. Please turn with me to Psalm 123. We're actually going to be looking at three psalms together and tracing some common themes in these three. Psalms 123, 124, and 125. Please give attention to God's word. To you, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, just sidebar, what he's doing here is, you know, this is a Psalm of David, but it's like he's making a statement and he says, can I get a witness? I mean, that's the effect of this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. A common theme in these three Psalms of Ascent, and we see it in others, but a common theme in these three is the pilgrim's perils. There are dangers on the trail as we journey through this life. You know, when we come to faith in Jesus, You know, we sing even when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And we kind of have this expectation that if I'm walking with Jesus, well, life should be great, right? Well, it is in many ways, but in many ways it is not also. So the Bible does not deceive us about the difficulties of this life in this world as we journey by faith. Jesus Himself said, John 16:33, in this life you will have trouble. It's often uphill. Life is full of setbacks and switchbacks. It's not, the Christian life is not this quiet escape with God to a garden. Well, our psalm climbers understood that. And they experienced that, and they're singing about that. And so they describe for us some of the dangers that they experienced on the trail. Psalm 123, it seems like the climber here is dodging falling rocks, the contempt and scorn of the proud. You know, contempt is worse than anger of somebody. You know, contempt, it strikes deep within us because it's not just that people don't like us, they despise us. How do you hold on? How do you not fall when you're being bombarded by people who hate your guts? In Psalm 124, some monster circumstances washed out the trail. Waters threatened to sweep travelers away in a flood. Around any corner, it seems there's a description of some wild animal ready to rip them apart. And there are booby traps along the way. I mean, they could be snared like birds. In Psalm 125, we hear speak of this scepter of wickedness. Some translate that a fist of wickedness. This is what you slog through when you have to deal with the damaging effects of sin, your sin or the sin of others, or the sin of a society. John Newton, I think, summarized the perils that the pilgrim faces on the trail when he described them as many dangers, toils, and snares. And this is what we encounter. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, perils that Christians face, they're no different from what any non-Christian faces. And so the question comes to us, what does it mean to navigate differently through the perils of the trail? Well, the difference is that we navigate by faith. You know, I find it fascinating that the psalmists don't get hung up on the questions that trip us up so often. Such as, well, you know, if God is so good, if God is so powerful, then why doesn't He do something? You know, where's God when I needed Him? Some folks don't feel God's presence, and so they figure, well, He's either not there or He doesn't care. And so they quit the trail. One young woman said that in her darkest times in college, she didn't feel God's presence, and so she walked away from the faith. Well, the psalmists never do that. They go through these horrendous things, and I'm sure many times the psalmists did not feel the Lord's presence. But they stayed, and they struggled with God in the midst of the perils. They asked questions such as, how long, O Lord, will you forget us forever? They say bold things to God, such as in Psalm 74:11, why do you hold back your hand? Take your hand from the fold of your garment. And if we were to put that in street language here, literally the psalmist is saying, God, we're getting clobbered, and you're standing around with your hands in your pockets doing nothing. That's some bold speak to God. But you see, it's done within the context of faith. These psalmists, they're not walking away. They're not threatening to bail out. Their only recourse is God Himself. And so they keep pressing toward Him. And what we understand is the reason they do that is because as they're walking through the perils, they understand the provision for the trail. And the pilgrim's provision is simply this. It is God Himself. It is God Himself. And these psalms of ascent, they breathe with this conviction and this resolve Psalm 123, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. God on a throne, here is their provision. He is their provision. And so they trust God to provide for them on the trail. You know, heaven is the place of greatest vantage point. It's the place of power and authority. Well, if God is Lord of heaven, then he knows exactly where I am on the trail. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I need. In fact, he has a better grasp of my earthly circumstances. Why? Because he sees the whole landscape. If he's Lord of heaven, he has all power to supply me with what he knows I need in any moment. And so I look up to the God of heaven and I trust him. That's what these psalmists are saying. In Psalm 124, the psalmist plays the if game. You ever played the if game? I know you have. We all play it. And a lot of people play the if game, but on the game board of doubt and skepticism. Well, if God is so good, if God is so powerful, then why didn't he blank? Well, the psalmists play the if game, but on a very different board. It's called the board of faith, where they factor God in. If the Lord had not been on our side, they say. But he was. And that is why we were not swallowed alive. That is why we were rescued. That is why the snare was broken and we escaped. If the Lord had not been on our side. I challenge the 8:30 gathering. I challenge this 11 o'clock gathering to play the if game. Launch into it with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends. But I challenge you to ask, if the Lord had not been on my side, and to think through your life, ask the Lord to show you the ways that he came and he supplied. He was there. I think about my own life. If the Lord was not on my side, I would sure not be here in Montreat. If the Lord was not on my side, I wouldn't have the wonderful wife and children that I have. If the Lord had not been on my side, I know, knowing my sin patterns, I know where I would be and what kind of person I'd be and the kind of destruction that would be in my life today if the Lord had not been on my side. Now, in a way, you know, it's easy to play this game, especially if your life is full of a lot of good things, if you have a happy life. And of course, it's easy to play this game and be happy about it when God delivers us from some illness. But what about when he does not? And for some people, sickness is not just for a day or for a week, it's for years with no end in sight. What do we say about God then when awful things fill our lives? Matt Chandler is a pastor in Texas. He's one of these young, amazing preachers and authors of our day. He has grade 3 brain cancer. And the doctors tell him he has this much time to live. How much time is that? They don't know. They say, you could die next week. You could die in 10 years. Well, Matt Chandler lives with this huge certainty of death and an uncertainty of when. In a way, when you think about it, that's kind of like us too, isn't it? I was listening to a talk that he was giving where he was speaking about his cancer, and he said this, quote, "Last night, I got to celebrate my daughter's 7th birthday, and then I got to get in bed with my wife. I woke up this morning and I had breakfast with my family, and I thank God that I got another day." See, instead of complaining, if the Lord was really on my side, then this cancer would never have happened. Chandler is playing it the different game. If God had not been on my side, I wouldn't have had another day with my kids and my wife. If God had not been on my side, I would have no joy in the day. If God had not been on my side, I would have no hope for the life coming my way in Jesus Christ. And so because the Lord is on his side, Matt Chandler is a man full of joy and life, even in as he's walking through this valley of the shadow of death. Well, what about you? What about me? If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be in the face of death? If the Lord were not on our side, where would we gain strength, not just for the sick day, but for the years of sickness and brokenness? You see, these climbers ahead of us in the Psalms, they are not living in la-la land. They sing out in Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. They know God is there. He is for them. He is with them. He is their provision on the trail. And he is your provision, Christian. I mean, consider how God is on your side. He is for you with the provision of himself. I mean, just taking this a little bit deeper, in Jesus Christ, God did what? He took on flesh. And he lived in this hellish mess created by sin of men and women. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death we should have died because of sin. And in that act on the cross, God could not have demonstrated in any greater way that he is on our side, that he is our provision. For on the cross, what is Jesus declaring? It is this, from hell's heart, I love you. I came here so you would not. And in me, you now stand forgiven and welcomed by the God of all glory. Because of Jesus, there is now no person, no circumstance, no force that can ultimately swallow you alive, tear you apart as prey, snare you like a bird. This is the promise of the provision of God himself, who is with us on the trail. Well, the question then becomes, so how are we going to respond to this? Perils all around us, but the provision at hand of God himself. How do we respond? Well, look at the pilgrim's response. It's summed up in Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. They trust the Lord. And what is trust? Eugene Peterson, in his commentary on the Psalms, says that in Psalm 125, the very last statement, peace be upon Israel, he says that's a really good statement of what trust is. Peterson with a message and things, he's always translating it a little bit differently. He says, really, peace upon Israel, it means relax. God's got it in his hands. And that's really at the heart of trust, isn't it? It's being able to relax, to be at peace, because we know God is sovereign. God is in control. But trust is more than, you know, this kind of chilling out in our hearts, especially when you're facing circumstances that are about to swallow you in one gulp. Well, these climbers ahead of us in the Psalms here, they're speaking of three other things that help flesh out what trust involves. And one is prayer. I mean, these are not difficult concepts. One concept, one element of trust is prayer. Psalm 123, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. You know, prayer is a deliberate act of God-reliance rather than self-reliance. And the main reason we do not pray is because we think that we've got it figured out, we've got it under control. And these psalmists, they are not deluded into thinking that they are somehow sufficient in themselves to deal with the perils of the trail. They pray, and they're shouting to us down the line, down the rope, rouse yourself, Christian, seek the Lord, cry out to the Lord, don't give up, pray, ask. They also shout down the rope, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship is this second dynamic that fleshes out what it means to trust the Lord. Psalm 124, verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. If you look at the context of, or the, you know, the description in Psalm 124, these are some dark circumstances that, actually David is the author of this, but Israel, they're passing through some dark things. And I think one of the realities we have to reckon with as Christians is, you know, God dwells in utter darkness. And sometimes we don't see his light breaking out on our path. And it can be very scary and disorienting. Where is God? Why doesn't he show himself? And these psalmists, they get that. That it's the mystery of who God is. He is God, but will we worship him? So we may come into that very dark, difficult place. And what these psalmists are saying is, we see God still. He's not manifesting in his power. He's not revealing himself. He's not helping us in the immediate moment, but we will still fall down and worship him. You know, our troubles are real, and they are pressing, but so is God. And the psalmists have eyes to see, and their hearts are full of praise to this God for his mercy, for his majesty, for the promises that he has made, for the hope that he will deliver them. With the fist of wickedness, it will not be the final word on their lives or on the land. Well, how about us? We have so much fodder, as it were, to give expression to praise to God. Praise God who has loved us in the most amazing way by allowing Jesus to be given as prey to their teeth, Jesus to be swallowed alive in death, Jesus to be swept away by the flood of our sin. Jesus did not escape the snare of the fowler, but by his death, you did. The snare is broken by Christ's death. And you and I are free, Christian. We are free from sin and death and hell and Satan. We are free to walk as the children, the sons and daughters of the living God. That is who we are. That is freedom. Trust the Lord. This is a call to pray. This is a call to praise. But third, This element of trust, a dynamic of it, and I've already really mentioned it, it's this gaze. It's fixing our gaze on God himself, regardless of what's going on around us. We see this in Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. You know, servant doesn't look out the window daydreaming. Servant doesn't look into the mirror touching up her lipstick. Servant's eyes are fixed on the master's hands because the master gives signals with the hands. You know, it might just be an index finger raised ever so slightly, which means bring me something to drink, or maybe hands folded. It's time for you now to escort our guests out of here. You know, who knows what the signs were, but the point is, they were signs, and the servant had to keep a fixed eye on the hands of his or her master in order to know the master's desires. Well, the psalmists here use this as an illustration for us that we are to be as attentive to the Lord as any servant would of his or her master. You know, in circumstances that can crush your heart, so that you lose heart. I mean, we're tempted to look at something. I mean, we're going to look at something, aren't we? And we're inclined, I suppose, to look at ourselves, our fears, the circumstance, our performance. We're tempted to look at anything except the Lord. And these Psalms of Ascent, they really become Psalms of orientation. Maybe reorientation of our heart, that so that even if we're in the teeth of hardship, we look at God and we do not look away. We look at who he is. We look at his nature, his character, his promises. We know who he is and what we can count on him to do. Even if he doesn't do it in the moment, we know he will come through in the end. And so we rest there in him. About 400 AD, Patrick, before he became St. Patrick, grew up in Britain, and when he was about 16 years old, he was captured by some Irish pirates. He was taken back to Ireland, where he was imprisoned and then forced to herd sheep and goats. Well, after about 6 years of this, he managed to escape. He went back home to Britain, to his family. He eventually became a priest, and don't you love the twists and ironies of the Lord? The call of God on his life was to return to Ireland with the gospel. Well, what a task. You know, behind him was the wreck of Roman civilization. Before him were these fierce natives of Ireland. And with no outward security but his trust in the Lord alone, he returned to Ireland. And over the next 30 years, Ireland was transformed by the gospel. So thoroughly that Thomas Cahill puts it, quote, as the Roman lands went from peace to chaos, Ireland was rushing rapidly from chaos to peace. That was the powerful effect of the gospel, transforming lives and structures. Well, where did Patrick find his strength to climb through the troubles of his times and to advance the gospel? Well, he gives his answer in a prayer that we now know as St. Patrick's Breastplate. It's a hymn prayer that reveals his trust in Jesus Christ. Here's a portion of that prayer. I arise today through a mighty strength, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Here's a man who knew God, Jesus Christ, was his provision through all the perils of the trail before him. And in a world running rapidly toward chaos, we have an unprecedented opportunity, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to climb in a very different direction toward God himself, trusting God to be our provision as we journey through in this life. And I want you to hear the call of these pilgrims in these Psalms of ascent. It is simply the call to climb. Climb. Climb with us. You are attached on this rope. You are not alone. It is a rope of many climbers who've gone before you, and there will be others after you. So climb. And join yourself to those who by faith before the world confessed the name of Jesus, that he is forever blessed. And when the fight is fierce and the warfare long, it will steal on the ear that distant triumph song. And hearts will be brave again and arms will be strong as we sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for Christ is on our side. Amen.